Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Podcast. We're taking a look ahead to the excellent Fairy House card on this Sunday. On the podcast, Sam Norris here with you to take a look at the racing, and I'm joined as ever on the line by our Irish racing guru, Andy Holding. How are you today, Andy?
I'm good, man. Good. Very well.
Good stuff there. Looking forward to this this Fairy House card as ever. It's a really good day of racing from Ireland on Sunday.
Yeah, glittering array of talent. One or two of the races must have slightly disappointed me. Probably due to the fact that there isn't much competition to the Willie Mullins horses, but that's pretty much the theme at the moment. But yeah, the Drinmore looks an absolute belter. You know, the field size has obviously been the one or two talking points either side of the RAC in recent times, but that one certainly hasn't let us down. I mean, all the way down to sort of some of the 25, 33 to 1 shots, we're looking at top class horses there. So I'm really looking forward to that race. That's probably the highlight of the day.
Yeah, it looks a fantastic day of action. We'll dive straight in then. The first race of the day at 12:30, a Grade 3 juvenile hurdle, this one for the three-year-olds. Ran over 2 miles, and it's Willie Mullins Calcare that leads the market at even money. Cabjoy is 5-1. It's tens bar those two. Does this look like a bit of a penalty kick for Willie Mullins to start with?
Well, he won the race last year, and the horse that won the race unfortunately broke down in our next race. So it's obviously an event that's very close to the heart of Willie Mullins. And the fact that he's starting off at Calcare in a hot juvenile hurdle, a Grade 3, suggests that he thinks that this horse is up to the standard required. He's just had the one run when it was trained in France. I came in Auteuil when he finished fourth over hurdles. But whatever he's been doing at home, it's certainly been enough to get bookmakers running scared, because I've noticed that he's been the anti-post favourite for the Triumph hurdle for about the last 2 or 3 weeks. And I was speaking to one or two people at Newbury Races yesterday, one or two decent judges and celebrities, let's say. I actually won't name names, because that sounds like a bit of a name-dropping experience. But they've also backed this horse as well. So obviously the jungle drums have been beating for this horse. It certainly wouldn't be an easy task first time out, however. There are one or two animals in this race that have got form on the flat and also form over hurdles. The probably pick of those would be Cabjoy, a filly that I followed quite religiously through the flat through the summer. And she ran a series of decent races. She made a winning start to her hurdling campaign as well, when winning quite nicely at Navan, jumping well in the main, and quickening up quite smartly in the end to lower the colours of one of Willie Mullins' fancied horses. So I certainly don't think she should be underestimated here. And 5-1, she looks the obvious each-way horse. And another one at a much bigger price. Love the feeling from the Willie McCreary stable, a very consistent and durable mare. She's been running well on the flat. She probably hasn't got the class of the aforementioned two, but she does try hard, and her win at Roscommon early on in the season was a decent effort. She's been running really well on the flat subsequently, and she's a 20-1 shot. So, albeit the favourite obviously has got the obvious claims, if you're tinkering around with some each-way fodder, then Cabjoy looks the obvious one, but with one at a bigger price, love the feeling.
Okay, there we go. Then a couple each way there for Andy. In the first, next up at 1 o'clock is the Royal Band Novice Hurdle. This one, Grade 1, ran over 2 miles. We've got 7 runners going down to post here. Who gets the selection? We've got a short price favourite in LA Colombieras at the top of the market again for Willie Mullins.
Yeah, this is the race I'm most disappointed with, Sam, if I'm being honest. You know, you're looking at a Grade 1, and other than the two Willie Mullins trained horses, the rest of them look well below the standard required, and that's the real negative I could find here. Obviously, we could see a couple of nice horses, particularly one in the shape of Ale Colombiers, who's actually racing in the Hood for the first time. So obviously, he's a bit of a buzzy type at home, and Willie Mullins feels as though he needs that contraption on just to perhaps calm him down and pacify him on the racetrack. I mean, Willie Mullins has used the Hood to good effect in recent times anyway, with one or two of his inmates, so it's not exactly a negative. He's won 3 of those AQPS flat races over in France, so he's obviously had plenty of experience. Apparently schooling's gone really well, and they really do like him at the William Mullins camp. Obviously the odds reflect that. The one with the experience is Nicholas Canyon, who made a decent start to his hurdling career. He only won by a length, but he won with more in hand than the official margin suggested. He beat a horse called Ballycloud, who subsequently got thrashed in a Thurley's maiden hurdle, got beat 53 lengths, so exactly the form of that race hasn't exactly taken a massive jump forward. And then you're looking at the likes of Tandem, who's probably best on a sound surface on the flat, and so far of a hurdle, that would be very much the case. Obviously, got to be respected from the Dermot Wildcamp, but he looks well, well short of Grade 1 standard at this very present moment in time. So, all roads lead to LA Colombiers. It's an unoriginal selection, but if the vibes are right, then he should be taking that Grade 1.
Okay, LA Colombiers then in the 1 o'clock for Andy. Next up at 1:30 is the Hatton's Grace Hurdle. This one, a Grade 1 over 2.5 miles. Just the 6 runners go down here. Annie Power, the notable absentee, and in her absence, Zaidpour takes the lead at the market at 11-10. Little King Robin is 3-1, 7-2 for Lieutenant Colonel. Jetson is 4-1, and the outside of the 6 is King of the Picts at 50-1. As I mentioned, they're disappointed not to see Annie Power go in this one. Who gets the selection?
Yeah, that is another disappointment, one of several disappointments on the day. But it does lead the way clear for Stable Companion and indeed the same ownership, Zaidpour, to perhaps go one place better than he did last year when he chased home Jetski. He only got beat, of course, a length and a half, but there's certainly no Jetski in this race this year. Jetson obviously representing the same connections that won this race last year. He'd have a chance if he was fit enough to do himself justice. But nowadays, Jetson seems to be more a real strong stayer over 3 miles, and perhaps this 2.5 mile trip off the back of a long layoff might just be his undoing. So you're looking really towards the likes of Little King Robin, who's obviously fit and well and in great form, to perhaps put it up to one or two of the market leaders. She's in great nick, as we know. She's won 4 or 5 off the spin and ran respectively last week behind Hurricane Fly and Jetski, of course, in the Morgiana. I think it's very much a case of the connections are trying to make hay while the sun shines with that mare, because she's obviously picking up a lot of prize money when she's in good form, and one or two of the fields are rather sparse. But Zaidpour really does hold all the aces here. He loves soft ground. He's a very reliable, durable performer. He goes really well here at Fairy House. He hardly ever puts a foot wrong in his races, and while he's in the form that he certainly showed that with a smooth win the other day down in Navan when he beat a decent field. He really is the one to beat here, and you know, he could actually complete a treble on the card as early as the 1:30 for Willie Mullins.
Okay, and Zaidpour in that one for Andy. Next up then at 2:05 is the Drinmore Novice Chase. Again, 2.5 miles the trip. 13 runners line up for this one, and the Tullow Tank leads the market at 15-8. It's 7-2 for Vazir Lido. Apache Stronghold is 4-1, 9-1 for Real Steel, 11-1 bar those. A good turnout for this one, Andy.
Yeah, this is an absolute stormer. A race that many race goes to go 1,000 miles to go and see. The list is endless, really. We'll start off with the Tullow Tank, a very highly regarded and useful novice last year, dined at the very top table, started his chasing career off in the perfect possible fashion with a smooth victory over this course, of course. I think that's important. He beat Marla Beach, a horse who I've got an immense amount of time for from the Gordon Elliott stable. His jumping was sound. And, of course, last year he was taking on the likes of Vator on more than one or two occasions before unfortunately missing out on the Cheltenham Festival. Big day here for Sandra Hughes, of course, daughter of the late Desi. It would be a fitting victory for all concerned if that horse was to manage to win the Drinmore at a track where her dad obviously had many fantastic afternoons. He sets the standard and he's a worthy favourite, but doesn't mean to say he's got an automatic right to win this race, because we've got several big guns here lining up in behind him. Vassal Lido, hugely impressive on his debut as well at Punchestown, jumping well, staying on strong, winning with any mount in hand. Of course, he was second to Fahein at the Punchestown Festival last year. Then you go on to Apache Stronghold, another hugely promising horse from the Noel Mead stable. He also jumped with a great Elan first time out at Down Royal, beating a good field. He also has got form tied up with Vator last season. And to be honest, you've got horses that are double-figure quotes, such as Alicia Inouye, who would have been on a 6-timer going into his last race. Unfortunately, he slithered on landing. He's no forlorn hope. And won at a very, very big price here. He's a horse that is quite dear to my heart. I followed him through thick and thin in recent times at big prices. He's just the kind of horse I like to back at a huge odds, because he often, you know, steps up to the plate, and he's very much a Wimbledon, if you like. When he's in the cup against the big boys, he tends to run a good deal better than his odds suggest. And Follow Me Up to Carlo's the horse I'm going to put forward here as a horse who could not necessarily win the race, but one that you would perhaps want a few quid each way on and just hope that he scrapes into the frame. Certainly think he's got the speed figures and the quality to do that. Indeed, he did that the other day when he was ridden pretty much to finish in the frame behind Bally Casey in a decent event down in Garen Park. But he finished in front of a couple of really smart horses called Moscow Manon and Maloney, and both of those horses are rated in the 150s. So even though Follow Me Up to Carlo's got plenty to find on the official ratings, he certainly outruns his odds and his ratings on more than one or two occasions. He's just the kind of horse that will creep into the action late on. He goes really well around the track. He's a course and distance winner. Like I say, don't get carried away. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute we're going to back a 50-1 shot here. But there's a good chance that he might pick up the pieces. So Follow Me Up to Carlo's, my speculative each-way investment there in the Drimmore at a big price.
Okay, there we go then. Follow Me Up to Carlo each way for Andy at a big price this morning. Quotes for 50-1 with us here at William Hill. Next race on the card then is the 2:35. This one, a mare's handicap chase over 2 mile and 4 furlongs. 10 runners lineups contest this one, and it's tied to the head of the market. Polly Wally Doodle is the tentative 4-1 favourite this morning. Speckled Wood 9-2. Who Let the Dogs Out 9-2. 5-1 Down Ace, 8-1 for Biley Babe. 8-1 for Leoscar, 10-1 Tudor Fashion, and bigger prices the rest. A tight look to this one, Andy.
Yeah, but there is one standout horse for me in this race. I certainly think she's very well handicapped on the evidence of what we saw her last time at the Grade 3, and that's Polly Wally Doodle. I mean, she ought to be beating this field, really, off a mark of 116, given that she chased home at the very smart Jenny's Jewel last time out in a good contest down in Clonmel. She made the running that day. She was defying her 33-1 odds all the way through that race. But there didn't appear to be any fluke about that performance, because she's done it before. She's a real strong front runner. She jumps well. She goes a good gallop. And there was no way that she was stopping that day. And it took all of Jenny's Jewel's powers of stamina to get by this horse in the latter stages. They were well clear of the rest. Good horses as well in behind, the likes of LCR, Katie, Briley Babe, Baby Shine, of course, ran well at Newbury yesterday. We're all tailed off in that race. So Polly Wally Doodle is really going to serve it up to them here. I don't think this race is any particularly stronger than, it's certainly not a lot stronger than the race that she contested the other day. A lot of these are fairly modest. So if she gets into a rhythm from the front, I think Ewan Griffin's mare here could take all the beating. And I think William Hill have got her just about right. She certainly is a worthy favourite, and she's going to be very difficult to catch from the front if she gets into a good rhythm.
Okay, Polly Wally Doodle, the one in that one, then available at 4-1. The penultimate race of the day comes at 3:10. This one, a handicap chase over 3 mile, 5 furlong, and it's Embracing Change who heads affairs at 5-2. 11-2 for Seafood. Rogue Angel is a 15-2 shot. It's 8 about Jupiter and Swordfish. 11-1 for Vasco Demi, and 12s or bigger the rest of them. We saw a couple of these horses in the Troy Town last week, Andy. Who gets the selection here?
Yeah, we did. A couple of them, unfortunately, got no further than second. That was, of course, Rogue Angel and Thomond, who got Ufellum got brought down, respectively. I certainly think those two have got a chance. I'd speak quite highly here of Seafood. He's, of course, winner over hurdles in the past, and he seems to have taken to the larger obstacles really well. He absolutely dished out a real sound beating to Thomond the last time we saw him down in Wexford. He'll definitely stay every yard of the trip, and if you're looking for a horse who's almost certain to be there or thereabouts and run his race, Seafood definitely fits that criteria. Another one to mention here is Jupiter. Now, this horse absolutely adores this track. Every time that Paul Nolan sets foot on the Fairy House lush turf, he's always run his best race. Indeed, his last victory came here last April when he was a winner of one of these staying handicaps. He loves soft or heavy ground. He's previously finished in the frame in all his other three visits at the track. So he's a very consistent horse around the circumference of Fairy House, Jupiter. And he's a nice price as well. I do like Paul Nolan's horses here as well. They often run well above their starting prices. And I think because of his track form, I think Jupiter's the one I'd be with here. Just slightly favour him over Seafood. But yeah, those are my two against the field in that competitive-looking staying handicap.
Okay, then, due to the pick in the penultimate race. We'll move then to the final race of the day on Sunday from Fairy House. This one at 3:40, a flat race to close the card over 2 miles. 13 runners down to go to post here. Plenty of other race types in the race. I suppose the obvious one would be Children's List for William Mullins. Does already have a win under his belt. Does that look like the one here, Andy, or have you picked out anything else?
Yeah, there's certainly plenty of solid vibes coming out of the William Mullins camp for this Children's List. Of course, a hugely impressive winner of his only point-to-point so far to date. And those kind of horses have just been dominated the scene over in Ireland of late. Basically, William Mullins doesn't give many trainers a look-in in these kind of events. There are, of course, one or two other horses of interest in this race. Obviously, Gordon Elliott's got a nice horse in there called Delegate. That horse has also been catching the eye at home. And Sandra Hughes' horse, Art of Security, he's probably got the best form so far on show, having finished third behind that hugely impressive Dermot Weld horse, Forgotten Rules. Of course, that was at the Punchestown Festival. If he handles a slightly softer terrain today, I think the son of High Chaparral is certainly going to give you a decent run for your money from an each-way perspective. But once again, I think William Mullins is going to dominate here. Children's List, certainly not expected to get beat here today. And I think that's very much how the market will be represented in the last.
OK, then, fair enough. Children's List, the selection in the final one. For Andy, if you could just remind us then, please, of your selection on Sunday.
Yeah, excellent day's racing here today. Really should provide us many clues for the future. Obviously, Calkey is going to be all the rage in the first, but perhaps won't have it all his own way, as the odds suggest. I quite like Cab Joy or I Love the Feeling. I'm certainly going to be tinkering around with those two at the kind of prices they're likely to be this morning. Very disappointed with the Royal Bond, but hopefully the performance won't be disappointing from Alain Colombiers, who has been setting the world alight at home in all his homework and should make a winning debut, albeit in Grade 1 company. Could be another good event for Willie Mullins in the shape of the Hatton's Grace Hurdle, with Zaidpour representing that stable now. Annie Powers, a late defector. The Drinmore is an absolute mouth-watering affair. Lots of high-class horses on show, but it may be one of the unsung heroes that runs well for the podcasters here. I'm going to throw in Follow Me Up to Carlo as a tentative each-way selection at a huge price. In the Mare's Handicap, I really fancy Polly Waller Doodle to make all the running. Two against the field in the Stain Handicap chase would be Seafood and Track Specialist Jupiter. And then hopefully Willie Mullins can round off the day as he began with Children's List in the final race.
OK, there we are then. The thoughts of Andy Holding on the action from Ferry House on this Sunday. And you'll hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio. We'll also be taking in the action from Carlisle and Leicester domestically as well. Mick Norton, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Mark Slater will be in the studio for all of that. Thanks for joining me on the podcast today, Andy, and good luck with your selections at Ferry House.
Thanks, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.